See what's happening in your local area. Head to RoachValleyRadio.com.
Welcome back to Roach Valley Radio Sports. 8 minutes to four is the time. Now, yesterday evening, we saw the results of an amalgamation of votes between the Shakers Community Society and the Bury Football Club Supporters Society. That's obviously not going through due to the fact that it didn't pass through the Bury FC Supporters Society, needing 66.6%. Voting in favour, that only having just under 63% of the vote, 37.1% voting against that from the Bury FC Supporters Society, 286 people. On the Shakers Community Society side, 1,089 votes were received, 1,003 people in voting in favour, 66 against and 20 abstentions, an approval rate of 94%. We're joined on the line now by Shakers Community Board Chair Phil Young. Phil, a very good afternoon to you. First of all, just what was your sort of initial reaction once you learnt the news of both votes?
Hi, Adam. How are you? It's raining in Ramsbottom at the moment.
It certainly is. It's sort of been on and off throughout the afternoon, but as soon as the half-time whistle's gone, it seems to be coming down again.
Let's be honest. We were all really, really disappointed to hear the result, especially as it gets so close. You know, you look at it and think, if another 30 people had turned up and voted in favour of this, then things would be different. But at the same time, we've been heartened just by, I think, the resilience of the supporters and the members that we've got, the messages that have been sent in. In reality, you know, what we're heartened by is the fact that the vast majority of people voted in favour of this, not just on our own side, which obviously was 94% of people voted yes, but on the Bury FC SS side, where 63% of people voted for it. It seems kind of weird that fewer than 300 people in the whole town have managed to block this, and the way in which we view it is, it's, you know, this is something that the majority of people want to see happen. It's been blocked, as opposed to it's been necessarily voted against, if you like. So whilst we're accepting the result itself, legally this amalgamation required that 66%. We don't think that this is necessarily the end of this. There are far too many people in Bury that want to see this actually happen and can see the sense in it all. So we're hopeful that, you know, we're falling over at this particular hurdle, but this is an issue that will rumble on in future, and I'm sure we'll return to it again at some point. One really useful, really important thing is, you know, we've had an influx of new members over the course of last night and this morning as well. So clearly people are sort of want to back the club and can see the value in what we're doing.
You mentioned there about the sort of threshold that needed to be passed, 66% on both sides, two thirds. Just sort of give us a bit of background as to why it needed to be that threshold. Obviously, you mentioned legally there, and sort of it wasn't sort of as a simple sort of majority rules vote.
It's because to amalgamate the two societies, it's governed by a particular statute, the Community Benefits Societies Act 2014, I think it is. And to do it in this particular way, we knew it was a tougher way of doing it, but we felt it was the cleanest, simplest and tidiest way to do it ultimately. To do that, the actual statute dictates that you need a two-thirds majority of each society to be able to do it. To actually fold a society requires a 75% majority, which we thought might be what was required at one point in time, but the lawyers told us otherwise. So that's why it's that two-thirds majority. There are obviously different ways of approaching it, other ways which we think would have been, you know, where it could have just been the simple majority of over 50%, but I don't think it would have really resolved things in the same way as would hope for by doing it this way. So, you know, we will return to this. I don't think this is sort of the end of the story on this one. There's an awful lot of legal obligations, aside from the financial issues that Bury FCSS are faced with running Gig Lane now. without the funding that's been that would have been available. There's some legal obligations in the grant funding agreement that are going to be very difficult for them to demonstrate that they're in compliance with, I think, going further forward. So I think, you know, there's all sorts of issues up in the air. From our point of view, those aren't really our problems at this point in time. And it's been quite an exhausting process to go through all of this. So there's a little bit of a weight lifted off a number of people's shoulders now, which is a good thing. We can just focus back on football, which sadly we couldn't do today. We were desperate to play. We were desperate to watch the game today, just to get back to doing that again. But you know, we'll return on Tuesday night and we'll have plenty of games to go for the rest of the season.
You mentioned there about sort of, you don't think that this will be the end of the scenario. How do you sort of see the future panning out in sort of this scenario? And on the flip side of that, have you had much communication with Bury FC Supporters Society over the last couple of days, sort of with regards to the result of this vote?
No, we've had nothing from Bury FC Supporters Society, and I don't really expect anything. As far as they're concerned, they've got, you know, that they're going to go down their own track. I think it's fairly clear to everybody that that's what they wanted to do in reality. However, there are a lot of other parties involved in trying to put this together, including Bury Council, Greater Manchester Combined Authorities, even the Levelling Up Department and people like that, and the guys at the Football Supporters Association that have tried to sort of shepherd us throughout all the legal intricacies and all the rest of it. So they've all been in touch. I think that there's a real desire to try and see what we can do to keep all of this moving forward, and that goes from, you know, from some of the benefactors as well who are desperately keen to see this all actually work. So when you've got a situation where the vast majority of people and members of both societies in Bury want this to happen, and most of the key stakeholders are seem to want this to happen as well still, then I think that gives everybody a little bit of hope that this isn't the end of this particular situation. But for now, you know, we can just crack on with focusing on football, and we know what we need to do. We know where we're going to be playing. We know all of those sorts of bits and pieces. It simplifies things for us in the short term. And, you know, we just need to leave Bury FCSS to get on with it and to demonstrate that they are capable of delivering on the plan that, you know, we people are yet to see, but I'm sure that will be unveiled over the course of the next few weeks.
And you mentioned in the statement that you released to members last night that you were disappointed that you were not able to move to Gig Lane this summer. Obviously, your current home at the Newvin Stadium in Ratcliffe is obviously a ground share agreement between yourselves and Ratcliffe. What sort of timescale have you got left on that, and are you looking to potentially extend that?
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't end at the end of this season anyway. It goes into next season, and clearly that's something that we've already had this conversation with them, to be fair, around extending it and maybe making a few adjustments to it potentially, just to make it simpler for both sides more than anything else. So hopefully that's something that we can just have a sit down with it. That there was, we were looking at something to try and do something a few months ago, but with what's been going on, we sort of both mutually agreed that it would be better for us to try and do something at that point in time. Now we're in a position where we can just pin things down a bit, but most of the details actually already been pretty much agreed on it, I think, anyway, and it's not radically different from what we've got at the moment. We've both learnt over the course of the past 18 months or so, and kind of got better, I think, if you like, at understanding how that ground share works and what we can do to make things kind of almost easier for both parties and simpler along the way. So yeah, that's something that we'll pick up with them. But there's no immediate concern. We've got the ground share lasts into next season anyway.
And just on sort of the ground share, as Bury go up the divisions, how long can sort of a ground share be allowed for?
It's, I mean, there's no sort of specific requirement to say that you can't have a ground share for, you know, you can have one for as long as you want. In reality, I think it kind of, you know, it, it, it would ultimately hold us back in the longer term. If our ambitions are to become a professional football club, which you'd look at sort of like, that's probably in step one, you know, the National League, maybe in the upper ends of the National League North. That's where it starts to become difficult to hit those sorts of levels without revenue outside of just normal ticket revenue and match day stuff and bits and pieces like that. At the same time, it's served us really well so far, and loads of people in football that have been there before, including some of the guys at teams like AFC Wimbledon or whatever. You know, I remember having chats with them where they've said, look, to be honest with you, Phil, the last thing that you want is to try and run a facility if you've never run one before at the same time as trying to launch a football club. The two things are just, you know, a little bit too difficult to do at the same time. A ground share really helps clubs in the early years get up and running, get off the ground and start to move up the leaves and develop a bit of football and momentum, if you like, before you're ready to deal with those sorts of things. And we knew that right from the start. The opportunity with Gig Lane came a little bit out of the blue and probably came earlier than any of us really expected to happen. But it's an opportunity that, you know, it's been missed this time around, but opportunities come up from time to time. You know, there are always these things that things happen, and you know, next time around I think we'll be even better prepared to take advantage of it.
And just finally, Phil, do you have a message sort of for football fans in Bury, the sort of maybe on the side of Bury FC Supporters Society? There might be members of Bury AFC, or they might be members of neither, and just sort of watching on from afar. What's your message to the football fans of Bury?
You know that my sympathies in some respects, you know, Bury AFC members, my message is just to hang on in there. But I think most of those people know, people that are watching us day in, day out, they know what we're about, they enjoy it typically, and they're bought into what we're trying to achieve. And I think to some extent that there's a reasonably buoyant mood even today. And a degree of sort of resilience in there anyway. So I'm not overly concerned about that. The main sort of the saddest bit for me is probably there's probably 500 to 1,000 people out there that haven't really gone back to watching football at all since the old Bury fold in 2019. And they're probably looking on thinking, what an absolute mess. And that my fear is that, you know, they're the people that will be lost forever as a result of all of this. So my message is really to them to say, you know, come on down and watch some of our games, get back into it, don't lose interest in football altogether, and don't think for a second that 286 people are capable of ruining the enjoyment of football for the rest of the season. It's just not going to happen.
Phil, many thanks for your time on Roach Valley Radio this afternoon.
Pleasure.
That was Shakers Community Board Chairman Phil Young on Roach Valley Radio.